Let's start off as we do with, have you got a new way of explaining what sophrology is different to the last time you spoke to us?
Perhaps maybe the technique we use. So sophrology is a dynamic form of meditation. It gets you into your, it gets you connected, brain-body connected, so that you can easily be present and not lost in your unhealthy thought patterns. And the technique also helps to produce serotonin and dopamine, the happy hormones in your brain. So it creates happiness.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a different angle. I should make you do it different every time.
I guess, yeah.
It become increasingly difficult. Now, I know you actually, you mentioned meditation. You want to talk about meditation today and meditation over the holiday season, the break, that sort of thing. Is are people inclined to lose their routine a little bit at this time of year?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's summer, you know, if our sleep routines, if we normally go to bed early, it's harder to go to bed early because the sun's, you know, it's not dark until like 10:30, you know, like pitch dark until 10:30 or 11 because the sun is setting so much later. But yeah. And then just the kids are around and they don't really have a routine now. So it's not like a 9 to 3 drop off pickup sort of strategy. You know, there's just a lot that happened. We're off work, so now we have 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks break. What are we going to do with ourselves? Yeah.
So. Do you have a pretty quite a, would you say a strict routine? Like you always follow it?
For me, not necessarily. In the beginning, when you're first trying to build a habit of meditation, it is better to have a specific time of day when you do that. And because then that gets you in the habit of doing it. It also, because of the way that we meditate in sophrology and with the mind-body connection, you're also able to identify certain physical sensations in the body so that you could be going throughout your day and then your body's actually sending you a message and telling you, hey, you need to slow down, you need to stop for a minute, let's do some meditation. And you can do a quick, you know, 15-second, 30-second meditation and get your brain and your body back in sync. So, yeah.
Okay. So for people who, I'm trying to think, people have so many different ways of meditating, I guess, but yours are specific. I know you've used audio to go, you know, like a, how do you describe it? I can't think of the right word. Audio. Like.
Yeah. So yeah, audio.
A guide. Yeah, guide.
We do. Oh, it's a narrative process.
Yes.
So we are doing a guided meditation. The meditation in sophrology is quite dynamic. As I said, the dynamic meditation strategies, it's actually a brain body strategy. One of the reasons for that is to create brain activity for the body. So we might start our exercise with a standing body scan. Scanning from the top of the head to the soles of the feet and all and the entire body. And because we're standing, the brain is actually firing more neurons and it's more work. It's working harder to sync with the body connections because it's receiving messages from the body. And so therefore it needs to be firing and more alive when you are standing because you're using you know, muscular and skeletal strategies to when standing as opposed to when sitting. So that's one of the reasons. The brain is also malleable, so we can replace traumatic memories or harmful emotions with healthy thoughts and habits. Using our limbic system, so that's where the amygdala your emotions are produced, and also in the hypothalamus where your emotions are also stored. So the dynamic strategy for sophrology is movement. So we do breathing strategies, gentle movement, and then we will fit for a portion of the meditation, like five to eight minutes doing a sitting visualization, a creative visioning process. But we only do that after we've actually become aware of the physical sensations of the body.
I'm quite interested in this. Like you're talking, there's quite a bit of stimulation, and for the novice or for people who don't do it at all, the expectation is meditation's about stilling your mind, emptying your mind, all that kind of thing. But you're not exactly doing that, are you?
No, not in sophrology. It's the importance of the brain body, the importance of us becoming aware of our body, the physical sensations of the body, the 11 body systems, because they are meant to be working together, and we are the captain. We're at the helm. We're steering the process based on our what we expose our senses to, and whatever we are doing with our five senses, the body then will take that and respond to it. But if we're not guiding the process properly, then the body is just going to be all haywire and do whatever it wants.
What does the body do when it's being haywire and you're trying to meet it? What does haywire mean?
Well, that would mean like if your emotions do not match your movement, the movement of the body. Say you really don't want to go to this thing that you have to go to, but you're doing it anyway. So you're getting ready. Say you're being prepared. You're preparing for a competition,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
And you actually don't feel confident. You don't feel ready, and so you're really hindering, your feelings are like, oh, I don't want to go. So your mind, your emotions are not matching the fact that you're actually getting ready and packing your bag and going on the journey to go and do this competition. And your brain is, or your emotions are saying, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And your body's confused. So your thoughts do not match the movement of your body. And so your body's going along with you, but the emotions that you're creating, and our emotions actually will settle into our nervous system, our muscular system, our skeletal system. So the emotions you're creating in your body, and so the cellular structure of your body is confused and trying to go along with you, but it's not synced. And so the importance of creating that brain-body connection and actually allowing your emotions to match what your body is doing is a really, really important factor into the outcome of that competition.
So, yeah, so you can see how it would affect the competition. And having talked with you lots before, I'm presuming you're going to say, like, long-term, like over the year, many years of our lives have not been in sync with our body. That can't be good for us either.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, we haven't been our whole lives, right?
No.
We just aren't. Most people are not aware that you have 11 systems in your body. They don't understand what those 11 systems are doing and how they're affected by your actions. They don't understand that they can actually help their body achieve the goals that you desire. If you're working in sync with your body, then these things are actually going to work in your benefit. Eating habits. If we're not eating or drinking properly, our body is going to be negatively affected. So we're actually, we might want to go play some sport, but if we're not eating properly and we're not drinking the right drinks and we're not taking care of our bodies, that sport is not, we're not going to excel at that sport.
So can we somehow summarize the 11 systems like that? That's it. That's the physiology of the body, the way that sophrology views it, I guess, is when you're talking about the 11 systems.
Well, the 11 systems are, I mean, everyone in the world would view them the same, right? Because we all have a muscular system, our muscles. We all have a skeletal system,
right,
our bones. We
yeah.
all have, everyone's got all of the 11 systems of their body. It equalizes us. We're all the same as far as the 11 systems go. So the circulatory system, your heart, your respiratory system, your breath, your endocrine system is responsible for the hormonal processes in your body, your nervous system, digestive system, reproductive system, lymphatic system is directly related to your immune system. So did I get anything? I don't remember what I forgot. Anyway,
sorry, I wasn't writing them down and taking them off. So
yeah.
It's all right.
The integumentary system. So that's your skin, hair, and nails. What's happening to your skin?
Yeah.
How are you exposing it, or what are you exposing it to, and what are you absorbing into your bloodstream as you are allowing things to touch your skin is another thing. So yeah, if we're not aware of these things, we're just going on about life and doing whatever we want to do, not considering how it's affecting our body systems And as I said, we are the captain of the body. And so if we're not taking care of our body systems, then we're going to, you know, our bodies are going to fail us, not because the body wants to fail us, but because we're making that happen based on our choices.
So for how many of those systems and for how much of the body is it choosing what to eat and drink or to exercise, and how much of it is the meditation thing that we're talking about today?
Well, meditation brings you into a state of awareness, this type of meditation, brain-body meditation, where right. you're considering the physical sensation, there's movement happening while you're meditating, you're visualizing certain things. You're actually, you know, part of it is called, one part of the meditation is called vital sophro-energizing, which is when we're sending love, joy, and gratitude to the cells of the body. So we're actually developing a relationship with our cellular structure, becoming friends with the body systems. And it's all, how much of it? Well, every cell in your body, 30 trillion cells in your body, every cell in your body contains an element of the 11 body systems. So all of it matters. There's nothing you can leave out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. We talk a lot about how we're kind of disconnected from our, you know, or we're disconnected our awareness of our body. I mean, when we're born, we're very aware. And I actually remember around the time I was 15 studying for exams. It was probably the first time I was studying for serious exams, and like learning to keep studying even though I was tired. And you know, you get a round of applause when you do that as you grow up. All the adults are like very approving. Yep, that's good. You're learning how to work hard and be an adult. But that also sounds like I'm learning to ignore and not pay any attention to my body. And now we're talking to you years later. Everyone's trying to rebuild that connection again. Mm-hmm. I know this is not what you plan to talk about at all, but does sophrology have anything to say about kids and how to, like, since they already start off being completely aware of their bodies, maintaining that rather than mm-hmm. letting them disconnect and then try to reconnect later on?
Yeah, definitely. There's, you know, well, I don't know how many people are aware, but the brain is not fully developed until between the ages of 25 to 28. Mm. So, and the last part of your brain that does develop is your frontal cortex, which is responsible for for decision-making and, noticing danger or, observing, is this an appropriate way to behave in a social setting?
Yeah.
So now we can see why teenagers and, you know, early adults in their 20s are making the decisions they're making, because they don't have full brain capacity to make appropriate decisions.
Yeah. Impulsiveness is common.
Yeah. So as far as training, yes, training our children to understand their body systems, to understand that if you are in a healthy relationship with your body systems, you're going to actually consider my body. If I drink this thing, if I eat this thing, if I get this tattoo, is this the best strategy for my body? Early on, you know, building a relationship and helping so that you actually can identify, is this the best thing for me and for my body for the long term? What can I do to excel at sports or to get a good mark on my exam? You talked about when you were tired and you got a badge of honor. If you worked through that tiredness and studied, that was actually encouraged. Well, that's actually very bad for you.
Well, yeah, this is what I'm thinking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're not getting enough sleep, and young people, teenagers need more sleep than adults. If you're not getting enough sleep at certain times of the night, so 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. are roughly the sleeping hours. So your body should be sleeping within those time frames. And that's generally not happening with our children, especially the teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually can if you sleep, you know, if you study right before you go to bed and then you sleep, your brain will actually filter and process the things that you've been studying. And then you wake up refreshed and have a better memory of the things that you studied so that then you can do well on your exam or the paper you're writing or whatever.
That would have been an interesting thing to know that the brain was processing it and setting me up while I was asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we weren't thinking like that way back then.
We don't understand what's actually happening while we sleep. The brain is repairing, remembering. It's organizing our relationships. It's rebuilding our immune system. Filtering through the things that we worked on and studied so that it can put that at the forefront of our brain. Like the things that you spend the most amount of time during the day are the things that your brain is going to put forward in your mind. So if you spend tons of time on social media, well, the brain's going to put that right at the front so that in the morning when you wake up, the first thing you're going to do is reach for your phone and look at social media because the brain has identified that as something important because that's what you're spending your time on.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. So we were going to talk about meditation in the break, so in the holiday break.
Yes.
So can we squeeze a little bit of that in now?
Yeah. So as far as creating strategies for meditation during the holidays, the reason that we would want to do this, or a few reasons why we might want to do this, is first of all, as we mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, summer holidays can disrupt our established routines. And when routines are disrupted, then everyone becomes stressed. We don't realize, you know, whenever we're in the routine, we're thinking, oh, I wish I could just have time to not be in my routine.
Yeah.
But then we get out of the routine for like 1 week. And we're frantic and we're stressed and we just want to get back into the routine. So by having a scheduled time of day where you actually dedicate that to meditation, and because of the way we meditate in sophrology, you can actually bring in a fun approach to it because we're moving and we're breathing and we're creating visualizations that are fun and enjoyable to do. Another reason that it actually does benefit children because it keeps them in their routines, or basically gives them some sort of structure. It also can help them to recognize what's most important as far as how much screen time or should I, you know, busy activities. And it also gives them strategies for developing emotional resilience and emotional intelligence. Mm. So that's a benefit. You can meditate over your meals, for example, mindful eating during the holidays so that you're actually eating foods that are going to help your body rather than hinder it. A lot of times, especially during the holidays, especially during Christmas, we get stuck into eating things that we don't normally eat.
Yeah.
And a sugar rush, too much sugar in the body is not good for the body. We're drinking too much, maybe. And this is causing, unhealthy brain stimulus. So doing some mindful eating practices, gratitude meditation. A lot of times people are traveling during the holidays. So you might get stuck in traffic. Well, when you're stuck in traffic, rather than being stressed or anxious about it, you can actually focus on your breathing or look around you and identify some things that you can meditate on that will actually bring you into a brain-body awareness. Allowing you to just be more at peace. You can connect with nature. If you close your eyes and you listen to the sounds around you, you can begin to breathe in the rhythm of the ocean, for example, or the rhythm of the breeze blowing through the trees. There's ways to do these things if you choose to, you know, go into meditative states. And meditation, especially in sophrology, that we train people to use meditation at any time, anywhere. You don't have to be sitting in the lotus position. You could be walking. You can be talking. You can be, moving around, sitting out on a busy street. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can meditate. And that's the importance of having a continuous meditative routine, because you can immediately access, like if we sit in a certain position in sophrology, and if you shift and sit into that position, if you've done it enough, your brain is going to identify that posture of the body as a comforting strategy for your body, for your brain, for your emotions. And it's we're just sitting on a chair. And that way, you know, we sit on chairs all day, you know, so much of our lives are sitting in chairs, even, you know, sitting in cars. So sitting in a proper sitting position, if you've trained yourself in meditation, you can now access that peace, because your brain identifies that as, oh, when my body is sitting in this posture, the body wants to be calm and relaxed. And so I'm going to relax and calm the body. So you're, again, working in sync between the brain and the body.
What does it mean to be meditating while you're walking? Like, because you I understand what you said about sitting in the position that reminds the body to go into that space. People tend to think of walking with meditating, you've got your eyes closed. And you're not.
No, they're not closed.
No, well, that's what I figured they're not. Yeah. But
we actually. But what's going on? So you know, further on, as we practice or doing a lot of meditation, where you know we actually teach people to meditate with eyes open and just be really mind body aware and focused. So as you're walking down the street and observing traffic and everything that's going on around you, you can actually be tuned into your body, notice the movement of your body, the shift of weight between left and right, what your eyes are seeing at the moment. And if you turn your head to the left or right, what are your eyes doing? What are you hearing? What's going on? So it's what's happening with your senses. So you're totally tuned in. If you're, if you're observing what's happening with your body and you're more calm and settled into your body, then when you're intentionally going to cross the street or whatever you're going to do, you are doing it in a safe way without just like darting, you know, especially teaching children, like teaching them to not dart out across the street. They actually have to pause and look both ways. Like that's a meditative strategy, because you're actually pausing, tuning into your body, identifying the safest thing to do, and then you're doing it.
So you're probably more aware than if you were walking along ruminating about something or obsessing about something or having an argument in your head, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. For sure. I mean, like, you know, if I'm in a supermarket and I'll be like shopping and I'll be so focused and have complete tunnel vision, and people will walk by, people that know me will walk by and be like, hi, and then it will totally interrupt my train of thought because I haven't even been looking at the people around me. I've been totally focused on what I'm doing. I've had that happen before where some people won't even say it. And then like, you know, later on that day, I'll get a message. I saw you in the supermarket today and I waved and you didn't say hi. And I was like, what? Why didn't you get my attention? You know? So it just is, it's just being mindful of your surroundings, you know, identifying where you're at, what your intention is, and then just using your brain and your body in the best way possible, in the strategy that you're actually living in the moment.
I think there must be so much for us to learn in terms of, like, I'm trying to get my head around the particular definition of meditation you're using or the way it's used in sophrology. I think that must be a huge frontier that people are going to be learning about it for a long time. Like, it feels like we're just scratching the surface here.
Yeah, it's actually just barely starting to come into the meditation world, where there's movement within meditation. Most of the traditional meditation is to sit in the lotus position with your legs crossed. Mm. And then the meditative guidance, the narration will actually help you to imagine that you're coming out of your body and you're floating out in a cosmic space. That is not brain-body connection.
No.
So
clearly,
and we never sit in the lotus position in day-to-day activities, right? So, yes, it is starting to be introduced. There's a practice called somatic movement, which is similar to what sophrology does. We're actually moving your body and tuning into what your body's feeling while you're doing it. Psychologists are, NLP is another one where they'll use like walking strategies in a meditative state. So it's starting to come into the meditation world. Sophrology was developed in the 1960s, and it was developed by a professor who was a psychiatric doctor. Mm. And he was a doctor, so he was very scientific, and the world that he existed in was people like Sigmund Freud and I forgot the other guy's name Jung. At the moment. But
Jung.
Anyway, they
would it be Jung?
They
Carl
no,
Jung?
Not, no, there was another guy that did I can't even remember now, but anyway.
Yeah, never mind.
I haven't taught the history of sophrology for such a long time. Anyway, he was very focused in the science world, and his wife was a yoga teacher. And so they brought the Western world and the Eastern world in together, and then established what they called originally biological values. Mm. So valuing the biological state of our body, and that's where it originated.
Yeah, I think that mix of East and Western is a really fertile area at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really important to identify that, because our bodies are biological. There is a lot of science going on there. And when you can identify the science of the body and how it works metaphysically with, you know, the Eastern strategies, then you understand why I'm moving in this way, or why emotions are affecting my, you know, grief affects your lungs, or why are these different emotions affecting my body in certain ways? Well, it's all things, because what you're exposing yourself to, your body is actually responding in an emotional way.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Lani, it's time for us to move on, and this is the last interview of the year, so thank you for your time all through the year. Mm-hmm. Do you have, if people want to follow up about sophrology and they now understand what that unusual word means, I know you've got a website with a bit of info on it, haven't you?
I do. Yep. It's called Sophro Solis. So Sophro is spelled with a PH. So Sophro. SophroSolis.com.
Okay.
And then my email is the same, SophroSolis@gmail.com.
Okay. All right, Lani, thanks for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks, Aaron. Have a good Christmas.